John 12, 24. You can go on my next slide there. It's a scripture I'm going to use today. It says this, truly, truly. When something's said in the Bible twice, it's like, we want your attention. It's true. He said, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat, that's a seed, falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Seed has to fall into the ground. You know, the thing about gardening, planting on the ground. It dies means it ceases at this level, and then it produces on another level. But it has to have the ground to do that. All right? So here's my first point. You go to the next slide here. Seed comes from your source. Your source is God to produce resources for you. So the source is the origin. God is our origin. We worship Jesus because Jesus is our way to God. God is our everything. I know this may seem a little unorthodox, but somebody just scream out to me, how do you describe God? God is awesome, almighty. He's what? He's everything. He's above. He's everything that we'll ever need. He's our source. God's pockets are deep. He'll never run out. God's got a bunch of children, and all of his children are well taken care of. God's not a deadbeat dad. He is my source. So God now gives me resources, but all of my resources start in the form of a seed. Resources are things that we can use. They're tangible forms of a source. You can't tangibly see God, but you can experience him through a resource. You can't see him, but you can experience him through worship. You can experience him as through the resource of the word. So with God being my source, he gives me resources. Let me show you what that looks like. You go to my next slide here. So God is my source. The word R-E in front of resource, R-E means again. And I told you again, that means your resources is God doing it again. So resources are again God. It is God representing himself in tangible form. So a resource is this. It's me saying, look at God. I get the opportunity to roll over every morning to a beautiful lady. And when I look at Barbara, I say, look at God. Yeah. God. People ask me all the time, is God going to make me marry somebody I'm not attracted to? God ain't going to have you waking up like, oh. Thought it changed by now. No, God's not going to do that to you. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. But it's going to be just what you need. Resource, right? Look at God. If you got a child in here, Isaiah had an award ceremony. Man, it was great. You know, we worked hard this year. He got an academic award, a citizen award. But every time I see that fellow walking around, it's like, man, he came from us. Look at God. You might look at your kids and like, whoa, yeah. Like, I did that. Even in your worst moments, it's like, I watched First 48, and that was in Memphis. It was a Leicester Street murder, and it was on national TV. And the guy wouldn't talk to anybody, and when he finally told him what happened, the guy that committed all the murders, his mother went there and talked to him. She's still mama. She beat the table and said, Junior, what you do? He said, I killed him, mama. But she loved him. She did. But she loved him because that's still hers. God gives you resources, and when you see them, you say, look at God. I had a great opportunity yesterday. I went to Upper Marlboro, Maryland, to a church. It's called First Baptist of Glen Arden. It's a phenomenal pastor. His name is John Jenkins. And I walked up to the building, and he had these fountains. Can y'all imagine driving up to church, and that's fountains? I can't let you look. He is playing in nothing, but just a little fountain just pop up out front. Had fountains everywhere. And I walked in the building. It was a phenomenal building. We were in the back eating, and it looked like a place where you could have a reception hall. It was a glass-encased building. And I said, look at God. Do you not know every church building is a resource? This building right here, this ain't going to be our only resource. This is a tool in our hand to do ministry. And I believe God has another tool for us. But when I looked around, I said, look at God. And most people talk about mega churches. They say, oh, these churches are so big, and they're straddled with debt, and, you know, they can't afford because all they focus on is the building. And he got up to us pastors and said, you know what? This is a $64 million building. And I said, whoa, look at God. Here's what he said. Watch this. But he said the first Sunday we walked in, the very first Sunday, $32 million of it was paid off. First Sunday. And I don't know if it's paid off now, but it's very close to it. He talked about their reserve. Watch this. He said, this is what we do in the community. He said, if you call Prince George County and you ask them for social services, he said, the first name they're going to tell you to ask about is First Baptist of Glen Arden. He said, this building is just a resource for us to do great things. Do you know what God wants to do in your life? Put resources. He wants to again himself in your life so that you can do in an excellent manner what he's called you to do. So if you're in the car right now and that car looks like it's barely making it, put your hands on the steering wheel and say, again, God. Yeah, wherever you are, if you need God to heal your body, say, God, I haven't always lived like this. I remember being healthy and healed. Do it again, God. God will again himself, and you'll say, look at God. Walk bent over, your back hurting, but I believe God will heal it. And we'll say, again, God. Arthritis, diabetes, and all these things, God can heal you. And now you're walking around 60, acting like you're 20. We're going to say, again, God. I got scripture for that. The Bible said the righteous are like the palm tree. In their old age, they're still flourishing. I told you at 80, I'm walking on the beach with Barbara with my shirt off. I am. Because I'm going to say, again, God. You all right in here? So watch this. Your source is God, and every resource is God againing himself. So don't you cry over resources. God, the job didn't work out. Okay, again, God. God will again himself in your life, and you'll say, look at God. Next slide is this. So you got to understand, seed comes from a source to produce resources. The next thing is this. You got to sow your seed. Satan doesn't want you to sow your seed. He wants you skeptical. He wants you suspicious. He doesn't want you to sow love. And there's people putting this stuff in your head about you can't trust nobody. People always got an angle. And now you have all this to give and you're scared to sow it. But I want you to sow love. I want you to sow your tithe, sow your offering. Every person that I know that sees an abundant harvest, they first sowed a seed. Yes. But Satan wants you to hold on to your seed because of fear and mistrust. But the scripture says, unless a grain of wheat or seed falls to the ground, you will always exist in potential form until you sow the seed that God has given you. And you don't need much. One seed could be the key to turnaround in your life. One seed can be the key to victory. And you don't need a whole lot. You just got to use what you got. Here's a principle that I live by. You don't plant trees, you plant seed. You don't start where you're going to end. You start planting right where you are, and there's a harvest coming out of what you did. You have no idea why God wants you to sow. My very first job that I got, I couldn't get a job. I was applying for jobs. They wouldn't even return my calls, resumes, nothing. Do you know how I got my first job? The meanest lady on the job I had at the time, I was interning on campus. The meanest lady, didn't nobody like her, but I decided I'm going to be nice to her. And I was nice to her, and she said, you know what she told me? I don't like nobody here but you. Anybody work with that person? She said, you're the only person I like here. And she said, what you going to do when you graduate? I said, I would like to have a job, and I'm putting my resumes out. She said, my husband worked at Unum. And it was the place that got my first job. And she said, they're looking for people right out of grad school just like you. I didn't even interview for that job. I went in and we talked about basketball because her husband spoke on my behalf. Can I tell you that God is asking you to sow a hello into somebody's life? He's asking you, get that grimace off your face. Quit walking around like you James Evan mad at the world and put a smile on your face. You could be waving at your next boo. You have no idea. Sow your seed. You know why? Because poverty's worst enemy is a seed. The worst enemy of poverty is a seed. That seed is a dream that you can invest it. Every need in your life, God has a resource for it. But that resource is met through a seed. Anybody get hungry in here like me? I mean, anybody like to eat? Man, y'all had this sandwich the other day. I went to this place in Tullahoma, and it had shaved prime rib on it. It had salami. It had turkey. It had cream cheese on it. And it had this pepper jack cheese. Yeah, and I said, my God, this ain't going to be good till I ate it. It was so good, I saved it and gave Barbara some. I said, she said, I ain't hungry. I said, eat it. you know something good, you're going to force it out. It was a resource to meet a need. Bernard Harris was playing the bass. And Mr. Allison, he was here. He was 90-something years old. He passed away here. You guys remember Mr. Allison. When he was sitting in his hospital bed, I had no idea it was in the latter part of his life. And we were talking about Bernard, and I said, I got a CD of him in the car. Well, he made me move heaven and earth to play that. And I watched him sit there in his bed. He could barely lift his arm. He just lifted his hand and just waved it the whole time that CD played. That CD was a source of peace. It, God used that as a resource. God wants to use you as a resource to meet a need in life. And if you want to see resources sow up in your life, look at your neighbor and say, sow a seed. You will never regret any seed you sow. Next thing is this. You got to serve the soil that so the seed can produce. Scripture says unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. So it has to die on this level. And it has to have an environment to produce. The seed has to die to produce because it can't stand alone. But the seed has to have a place of change. It has to have an environment for it to be conducive for growth. And you got to serve to till the ground up so that the seed can produce a tremendous harvest. Serving prepares the ground for the seed to produce what it needs to produce. Watch this. But the soil can kill the seed instead of letting the seed die and mature. Can I say something to you guys? It's hard out here in these streets. And our seeds are dying, getting killed every day. But God needs you to serve the soil. He needs you to run for political office. God needs you in places of authority. God needs you to raise godly children. We are losing our seed to gang violence. We are losing it to mental illness. We are losing it to all drugs, all these kind of things. But God is looking for somebody to stand up and serve the soul. He's looking for somebody. There's a guy talking to me in the first service. He said, I want to start an anger management class. I said, I know a lot of angry people. We can get them in that class. If you can watch this. You can't control emotions that come, but you can control how you react out of that emotion. And there are some people that this emotion, I don't know why I'm just so angry. It's like, now I need to learn how to control this anger. They need a resource. There are people that need to learn how to develop all this that God has placed on the inside of them. God is raising you up to serve the soul. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be tough. But there's some young athlete that you know that God said, I want you to go serve and make sure that they're put in the right place. There's some young mother that you see struggling that God said, it's not going to be convenient. There are a bunch of kids back here and back in children's church that you have no idea who we're raising. One of my buddies, I don't think I see him here. He just had an unfortunate incident in his life. He had to serve some time. But when he got out, he called me. He said, Jason. I said, what? He said, I ain't black no more. I said, boy, everybody go in jail and change who they are. I said, where are you now? He said, I'm Harvidian. I'd have heard of a whole bunch of stuff. He said, I'm Harvidian. I said, what do you mean? He said, my son just got accepted to Harvard on a full ride. We ain't paying for a thing. He said, I'm so overwhelmed because he said, I went to Brentwood to this very expensive gala where they were walking around and talking about their children. It was for kids getting into Harvard. And he said, I was just nervous that somebody was going to ask me, what do you do? Because he said, just a couple weeks ago, you know where I was. But can I tell you that when you, I don't care what condition you're in, if you will serve, God will protect your seed. And God will not only protect your seed, but he will protect you. And he will make sure that everything you're doing is funded and taken care of in Jesus' name. Why? Because we serve. Because we believe in the generation coming up behind us. I believe in you. And I believe that God is going to do great things in your life. In the name of Jesus. Can I challenge you to find somewhere and serve? Can I challenge you? It's not going to be easy. You're tired getting off work. But there's somebody who needs a big brother and a big sister. There's some couple that needs to be mentored. There's some guy who looks just like you who needs to. There's some of you who've been through tremendous journeys, whether it be getting your confidence together, whether it's your self-image when it comes to overweight or underweight. There's somebody that needs you to help serve to raise up this next generation. Look at your neighbor and say, will you serve the soul? Because I want to see great things come up. Here's the last point is this. You got to seek the Savior so that you can see the solutions. It says, but if it dies, it produces much fruit. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of seeing our seed kill. I want to see it mature. I want to see it cease on this level. And I want to see it grow to the next level. Barbara and I are raising an 11-year-old son, and he's growing up Isaiah. But I'm raising up Isaiah to be a powerful warrior. He's going to be somebody's great husband and great father. The last thing I want is Isaiah's wife calling Barbara and say, Miss Gales, can I talk to you? Don't you say nothing bad about my baby. Your son is the most spoiled, selfish guy. No, that ain't what I want him to say. I want him to call and say, thank you. Can I take you to Ruth Chris, the Kanye Prime? Because you did a tremendous job with this guy. He anticipates my needs. He does all these things. Why? Because I want to raise up a kid who's not selfish. A kid who knows how to serve. I know he's going to go through his stuff in life. He's just 11. Y'all catch back with me when he's 16. We're going to see how he's doing back then. But I want God to raise him up to be something great. And here's the reality is this. God wants you to sow your seed, and he wants you to pray for rain so you can see the harvest. Do you not know that the harvest is a solution to whatever climate you're in? Whatever God wants to raise up in you is a solution to what's going on around you. You are created to solve problems, not be a problem. I think your neighbor needs to hear that. Can you look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you are created to solve problems, not be a problem. I live by this. He who solves problems gets paid. But he who creates problems eventually gets fired. I am put in this earth as a solution to whatever's going on. So I am planning whatever God wants to see, and I am trusting him for the increase. This is Pentecost Sunday. And all over the world, people are celebrating the Holy Spirit, the entrance, and speaking in tongues and all those things. You know what I'm praying for? Not just a manifestation of more speaking in tongues and all these things. I'm praying for the reign of God to reign on your marriage, to reign on your job, to reign on your health, because there's some of you that have some seed in the ground. You've got some stuff invested that you're ready to see. You've been waiting for a long time. And you're saying, God, I am ready for my harvest to come in. I am ready for things to turn in my favor. And I want to tell you today that it's about to rain. That God is about to rain down on your life. I want you to receive it by faith. He's about to rain on your, about to give you opportunities. There are things that you never imagined. I believe in God by faith. It's about to rain in your life. Is there anybody here that needs God to rain on any part of your life? I want you to do me a favor. If you want to see God reign, I want you to stand to your feet. If you want to see things happen, you know that you have something that's going to change the world. You're going to serve the soul. You're going to sow your seed. And you're going to see resources show up. God, send the rain. Rain healing. God, rain restoration. God, rain opportunities. Some of us are so hungry, all we need is one moment. Just give us the moment, the opportunity, God, and we'll walk right through it. God, rain understanding. God, rain peace. Some of your minds all over the place. God, rain joy right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we want to see our seed cease on the potential level. And we want to see it grow into an incredible harvest. Father, we believe in you by faith that the Lord of the breakthrough is about to invade every part of our life. You're about to see God do tremendous things on your job. Why? Because you're called to make things change. You're called to help somebody. Somebody's salvation is tied up into you making your next move. Your next move business-wise. Your next move family-wise. Your next move of releasing stuff. Great things are about to happen. Father, we honor you and we thank you. This is my season. And while many of us are singing about grace and favor, there are many of you who said, I've sowed some bad seeds and I don't want to reap. I don't want to reap any longer the consequences of my bad decisions. I got good news for you. You can repent. And if you're in here today and you need to repent and say, God, I've not done everything right, but I don't want to reap the harvest of those negative decisions for my entire life. I want to tell you right now that God will forgive you. God will restore you. And God will justify you. He'll treat you as if you've never done a thing. And in this moment, I want you to repent to God. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to curse every bad decision. And declare it illegal in your life. And we declare that God will flow in every part of your life. In the name of Jesus, rain on us. Rain strength. Restore joy. God, do it again. And we are going to declare, look at God. We thank you and we bless you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Touch your neighbor, grab them, give them a hug, shake the hand, tell them breakthrough's coming. In Jesus' name.